Okay, right, so generally we've finished our series of deeper, wider and higher. It's taken us over a year to do it, and things keep coming to my mind and to my heart, and I think, oh yes, this really fits in with it. So there's one or two loose ends that we're going to think about in the next couple of weeks, just to finish off the series properly. And I've decided when I retire, I'm going to turn it all into a book, but not until I retire. So I'm booked. I don't know when that will be. What do they say? Old Christians never die, they just get promoted to glory. I don't know. So we're going to go back into deeper today and think about going deeper into God. Okay, and just to go very, very quickly through, we thought about ourselves like trees, going deeper into what God is, who he is, and our relationship with him. We talked about wider, we talked about in the church community, we talked about going out into the wider community to share God's love. We've talked about higher in worship and in prayer. And I want to go back down again today into being deeper. So I was sharing a scripture in Lugazi in Uganda a couple of weeks ago. And as I was speaking it to the small group of people, there's only four or five people we were together, prayer meeting for the school, for the high school for the week, and just brought this scripture. And as I read it, I thought, this isn't for them, this is for me. God is speaking to me through this. So I really wanted to share this with you, and to see what the Lord wants to say to us through it all. Okay, so we're going to look at the scripture. It's in Luke chapter 6 from verse 46. Very famous words that I'm sure that most of us know. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? This is Jesus speaking. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then does it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Now, I was very encouraged this week backwards and forwards to Eastbourne Hospital. Michelle was preparing Sunday school, and she's doing the same lesson downstairs. Obviously, she's got her own take on it, but she is doing the same scriptures. And when I think about this, I particularly think about Nairobi at the moment. I haven't got any pictures, I'm sorry, but it is terrible. The floods. You know the minibuses? Okay, minibus. I saw a picture last night of the water, flood water, 30 centimetres below the roof of the minibus. And in this particular area, downstream of a dam, the government has said, everyone move, because they're worried that the dam's going to break. It's been terrible. Buildings are collapsing left, right and centre because they're not built with strong foundations. Okay? And that is so much the case there. I've seen it firsthand. But what does it mean for us to dig deep? Okay? Now, in these days of mechanical JCB excavators, we don't think much about actually getting out a shovel and digging, unless you're a gardener. Okay? But what does it really mean in spiritual terms, in Bible terms, to dig deep. Okay. So this is one of the verses that we've read. I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then does it. Okay. Obedience. Okay, that's where it comes down to, digging deep. It's going down, facing things with God and coming through. What does it say? It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. Okay, well, 2 weeks ago, when I was in Nalawerraway and I sent that little video through to you, there's a still from it. During that service in Nalawerraway, there was a guy came from another church to promote the Disciple Hub. He's not amongst those people there, but I just took this from their website. But he came to promote this thing, initiative that they're doing in southeastern Uganda particularly, called Disciple Hub. And then he turned round, and that was on the back. Dig deep. And I thought, and then when Monday came, and I was moved from Nalawerraway to Lugazi, and I started reading this scripture to the folk there. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? And there am I in the middle of Lugazi thinking, Lord, I know exactly what you're saying to me. Exactly what you're saying. And so I'm going to tell you what God said to me, okay? Now, for several months, I've been putting something off. God spoke to me. It was only a very, very small whisper, but I've been putting it off. And there were circumstances around things, and I didn't want to upset people. That was a silly thing. But I didn't. Okay? I know. And God really clearly spoke to me. So I got back to England Monday morning. First thing I did was start putting that process in for doing the thing that God told me to do. It wasn't overt. It wasn't loud. It wasn't. It was just a still small voice inside. And I knew I'd delayed too long. So I had to obey. And it was. You might think, well, it wasn't very much. But for me, it was important. So I have done what I was told to do. And it took a week to get it all sorted through. But did the last bit of it this morning on the way here. So it's all done. First thing I had to do was talk to Michelle about the issue. Because it did affect her a little bit. And Michelle, my wife. And every day I was away in Uganda, I was WhatsApping her video-wise. First time we've ever done it, to actually look at each other face-to-face. Normally we just send little kisses and things, or, you know, and what have you. But this time I just thought, let's talk to each other. And so after the Monday, after I'd heard that Monday evening, I came to her and I got her up on the screen and said, shall I tell her? I thought, no, I must tell her. So I told her there and then and there, and she said, oh yes, God said that to you before, hasn't he? So I knew it was the right thing for me to do. So obedience is digging deeper into God, digging down. Now, for some places in this world, you've only got to dig down half a metre, 3/4 of a metre, 3 foot, something, and you'll reach solid rock. Okay, when we built the rehabilitation centre in Nairobi back in 2001, we only had to go down that far before we reached the rock. But when you think about your life and who you are, we want our lives to be built on something solid, don't we? We don't want our lives to be built on nothing. I mean, I'm sorry, because I'm just back from Africa, I've got thinking about all these African illustrations. I saw this house that was built, they built with a foundation, but they ran out of money, so they then built all the bricks just with sand and water until they got up to about this high. Then they came into the money, so then they put the top ones with cement. That house is not going to last very long at all. If God is going to take us deeper into himself, if God is going to take us down to our depths so that we can build something solid, we've got to really listen out for his voice. So this is the first thing, I think. We've got to hear Jesus speak. Okay, that's the first thing. We've got to hear him speak. Now, there are certain things that Jesus says, that God says through the Bible, that it's a no-brainer. You know, you can read things like, be filled with the Spirit. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Okay? Those sorts of things. I can remember a young lady in our youth group many years ago. She heard everything, but she didn't want to open her mouth. And one day, was in our house in Stanley Road, we were in the house, and she was there, and she said, I just really want to know God. And I said, well, you've got to speak it out with your... Oh, I can't do it with other people. I said, go in the kitchen and do it then. So she went in the kitchen, and she just prayed verbally, perhaps even for the very first time. She came back in with a great smile on her face. She'd made contact with God. Yeah? There are some people in the Bible, even. This is a picture of the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do for eternal life? And Jesus said, obey the commandments. He said, I've done that since I was a young person. He said, well, then what you've got left to do is sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And it says, he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. He'd heard Jesus speak, but he wasn't willing to take it any further. Yeah? Believing what Jesus says is for you. Okay? We can get our Bibles, we can read wonderful things. You think what Roz read this morning, that's Psalm 23, a wonderful psalm of the Lord being the shepherd of the sheep. And we read it and you think, oh, this is really good. Is it for me? Is it for me? He leads me in paths of righteousness. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Is it for me? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. These words are written down so that you might read it and believe it. Okay, that's what John says, doesn't he? Right at the end of his book. Right at the very end. And I'll read it. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know his testimony is true, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that could be written. Again, and I can't find it, he says, I've written these things that you may believe. They're for you. In John 5:22, Jesus is saying this, I tell you the truth, those who listen to a message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Wow. That is something, that there's an offer of eternal life, something that will not end. I suppose I've been faced this week particularly with mortality, with my mum reaching the end of her days. And are thinking about the fact that she's going to go on one day in the next month or so, she's going to close her eyes, and when she opens them again, she'll be in glory. But she's got eternal life now. You've got eternal life now if you believe and you've received. But there's something about leaving this earth. Oh, it'll be full-time eternal life. Really, that's what's on offer here. So then number three, act on what you have heard. Okay? Don't do what I did and put it off and put it off and put it off. Act on what you've heard. Move in faith. Okay? Because faith is what we believe being put into action. Okay? So what about you? Are you ready to obey? Are you ready to say that amazing word that changes everything? Yes. Just a three-letter word. Yes. When Reinhard Bonnke was alive and travelling around Africa, he would, one of his phrases was, say yes to Jesus. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people would say yes. So for us as Christians, obedience is a foundation of being a Christian. I say a foundation because there are other things you could say, well, this is a real thing that really helps me in my day-to-day walk. But obedience is the foundation. So we've got the first, where we come to God as someone who doesn't believe and says yes, and we obey, and we come to God, we confess the things we've done wrong, things like that. I was thinking about Pilgrim, in Pilgrim's Progress, with a great weight on his back. He came to the cross, the weight fell off when he came to the Lord. And there is that initial foundational obedience. But then there's a daily living, okay? There's a daily living. I think back to when I was working many, many moons ago, and my boss of the time, he kept asking me to do things that were wrong. He kept asking me to lie for him and things like that. And I found very inventive ways not to lie. But in the end, I had to say to him, I'm not going to lie for you. I'm not going to do it. And he went home. I can remember this as clear as day. He went home and he went home, talked to his wife, came back the next day. He said, my wife and I had a very wide-ranging discussion last night. She's a Christian, he's not. Or he wasn't. We've come to the conclusion that you were right. It made my life change completely in my work. For 4.5 years, I was under his thumb. And I just dreaded going into that office and dreaded him saying, tell them I'm not here. Tell them this has happened. Do that. And then I got to this point. I said no, and then it all changed. The next 4.5 years were amazing in the office. He still carried on lying, but he knew that I wouldn't. So there's something about living day to day that we have to have willing, obedient hearts. Now I want to tell you a bit of a story about this guy, Rhys Howells, okay? He's known for two things, basically for being a prayer and being starting a Bible school. And particularly around the Second World War, he was one of the people who instigated the prayer around the Battle of Britain. And but he started life in Wales as a young coal miner. And I want to just take out two or three little bits about his life to show you that actually obedience isn't not just, oh, God's saying do this and you do it because it's wrong what you're doing, but also God wants to change our character, okay? Now, I've photocopied three pages from his biography, okay? And he, as a young man, he worked in the mine from 7:30 to 4 o'clock every day. And he had to walk there from his house for 2 miles to get to the mine. So he would put on his hat, because every man wore a hat. He put on his hat, and then he walked as far as the end of the village. Then he got to the end of the village, and he had to walk across a great big common to get down to the mine. So they would then take off his hat, put it in his pocket, so that he could have nothing on his head and pray to God for that half that journey. And so here we are, look, all these different hats that gentlemen and non-gentlemen wore in Victorian times, this is the sort of thing that he would have had on his head, okay, as every man wore a hat, okay, that was the way of it. Every man wore a hat until the day that God said to him, don't wear your hat. That's a silly little thing, isn't it? But God said to him, don't wear your hat. I want you to be praying all the time. All the time you're walking through your town, I want you to be praying, not just when you're in the countryside. And he really, really struggled. Okay, let me read a paragraph. One Sunday morning, very early, he was with the Lord in prayer. He said, and the glory of that morning was far brighter than the light of the sun. There was such a peace and solemn hush that I felt the place was holy ground. I'd felt it sometimes before, but it was far more intense that morning, as though Isaiah's words had become a fact, and the light of the sun should be sevenfold as the light of the 7 days. Then the Lord showed me that the place of abiding intercession which he was calling me to, and to keep the attitude of prayer all day. For the first time I could not take my hat with me. To walk through the town, to go to the mission, would be impossible. I could never do it, never! The glory soon passed, and the sun had no more than light than usual, if anything, less, and oh, the darkness that came over me. How I wished I'd not gone out that morning. Even fasting was not to be compared with this. Only those at home were involved in the test of fasting. But in this I was to be a spectacle before the whole town. Never had they seen a man out of doors without a hat. So can you see, it's not in itself a big thing. But he had to walk outside without his hat. And for him, he had to die to himself, die to the things that other people thought about him. Okay, the first thing he thought was, my mother. She's put up with me praying. She's put up with me eating very little. Because by this time, he was only eating 2 basic meals a day. Because he felt that praying and fasting was important for him in his work as an intercessor. And he came down the stairs that morning after this incident. And his mum had brushed his hat for him and gave it to him. And I'm not wearing it today. She didn't know what to say. He said, I thought of Simeon's words to Mary, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. What it means for parents to see one of their sons walking on a strange path. I will never forget going through the town that day and passing people going to other churches. Talk about being dead to the world. Every sensitive nerve in me was alive to its influence. I was not much better than a blind man. It seemed that the devil had gathered all forces of hell to attack this simple obedience. In itself, there was nothing in it. I was only called to spend the day in the attitude of prayer, and it meant a little separation from the world. Oh, the depths of this respectable self-nature. But it was in the process of being changed for the divine nature. Now, he then had to walk all the time without his hat. And then he got invited to London. Now, he's a coal miner, right? He got invited by a lord to go to London and talk about intercession. He didn't really want to go, but he went. Why didn't he want to go? Because he didn't want to have to walk without a hat. And it says he arrived at the station. Where is it? He arrived at the station. When the train was steaming into Paddington, he said he felt like a man going to the scaffold. Mr. Gossett was there to meet him and gave him a royal welcome as he stepped out of the carriage. Then he put his head into the compartment and said, "You've left your hat behind." "No, I didn't bring one." "What? Coming to London without a hat? Oh dear, no. You must realise, Rhys, that you're not in the country town. You cannot come to London without a hat." "Then I must go back." "That's not a question of going back. It's a question of wearing a hat." And then he says this, "I never pitied any man as I did my host when we drove from Paddington to Piccadilly in an open cab. He was as red as a lobster. On the way, he said, 'I have a new cap at home. It's a very expensive one. If it doesn't fit me, I'll give it you.' I had to tell him that if I was given all the caps in London for wearing, I would not take them, because to go without a hat was one of my positions of abiding to gain a place of intercession." He told me afterward that his pride had never been touched as it was then. The Lord had tried to reach it before, but he would not allow anyone to get near. He said he had blushed more during that drive than in his entire lifetime before. A simple thing, but in his obedience, I mean, if you read that story, if you read that book, it's not available, it's not in print at the moment. If you can get hold of a copy, really do so and read it. God so used this man, but he had to dig deep. He had to obey. What about you? Are you digging deeper? What has God said to you that you've not acted on? You know, it's said that water that comes from the deepest place is the sweetest. You know, you think about a well, you can get, again, Uganda, wells in schools at the moment because of the dry season. They can't get any water. It's not deep enough. But if you dig deep down, 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 the water that comes up is really sweet. So, what are you willing to do? What's God saying to you? Perhaps he's not said anything yet. Perhaps it's up to you now to say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I obey you?" I mean, Tom was praying a prayer this morning about going on with you, God, weren't you, in our worship time. This is actually you've got to be brave to pray a prayer like this. "Lord, I want to go deeper with you." And if you mean it, he'll take you at your word and he'll do something about it. "I want to go deeper with you, Lord." It's not a flippant saying. It's the thing that, "Oh Lord, I really want to go deeper. I don't want to stay at this level. I want to go deeper." But then be ready to hear what God says, and when he's spoken, be ready to obey. Now, just as I finish off, say this. We're saying this. Jesus said, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" And the thing is that if we call him Lord, we recognize that he has authority over our life. Yeah? So it's all well and good saying, well, so-and-so suggested that I do this, but I'm not going to do it. Because they don't know what they're talking about. Here, we've got the Lord of the whole world, our Lord, over us. What's he saying? What's he saying? And really, for us, obedience is really important. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you say. Sometimes you think, well, I don't know if you've ever thought like this. Well, so-and-so doesn't have to do that. But that doesn't matter. It's what God says to you that matters. Okay? I can remember one time I was with a guy and we were having a youth event in Worthing and he was the speaker and he was saying how he used to... He enjoyed listening to Pink Floyd. And I thought, really? God's taken me right away from those things. Ooh. But for him, that was fine. And I thought, well, okay. That's entirely up to you. It's your walk with him. For me, God said, ditch that. So I ditched it. Right. We want to obey. Do you want to obey? What's he saying? What's he saying to you now? And to be honest, if God is speaking to you at the moment, you already know what it is he's speaking. You already know, yes, it's that thing, Lord. I've held that on the back burner. Now I need to do something about it. We're going to pray, and I'm going to give you a bit of space in our praying just to be able to respond in the quiet of your own heart. And then there's a song to finish with. It's one for us to listen to rather than to sing. So let's just pray together. Lord, Lord God, Lord, we don't want to be amongst those that hear your voice saying, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Lord, we want to do what you say. Lord, and I know, although I personally have not come up to the mark on this, Lord, you've brought me to the place where I faced it. I faced my own life and I've done something about it. Lord, and I want to ask you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, all of us, me included, Lord. What do you want us to do in these days? How can we get deeper with you? How can our relationship with you be the sweeter? Like Rhys Howes said about it being the sun being brighter because of your presence. Oh, Lord. Lord, we so want to know you in such a deeper way. Lord, so we ask you, Lord, to come in these days and speak. Even now, Lord, as we're with you here, Lord, we pray for your voice to come to our hearts. So I'm just going to be quiet for a minute, let you do your personal transactions with God. Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, Lord, we thank you that we can transact with you. We can go through with you, Lord, as we are just quiet. Lord, we pray, Lord, for your voice. We pray for our hearts to receive and to obey, Lord. Lord, we do want to know you moving in our lives in such a deeper way. Precious Lord God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your voice, not giving up, but speaking. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Amen.